Okay, welcome back to The Good, The Bad and The Natty. And we have another very special guest on today. We have IFBB Pro, Ashley White on. I'll introduce yourself because I feel like everyone always plays themselves down and you deserve the credit. So you started off, you got your, was it Miami Pro?
Was it? Yeah, I did Miami Pro in 2016,
Wow, yeah. So junior bikini, wasn't it? How old were you when you did that show?
I want to say 23. I think I was 23 or 24.
Yeah, because I was looking back and, like, for a junior bikini in 2016, like, although obviously we've seen the junior bikini standards have come up and up and up, but you were in insane condition for a junior back then, because, like, it's just something that we have seen. We've seen, like, progression, but back then, junior and that sort of condition, it was incredible. And you brought that to the stage this year, well, last year now, isn't it? But yeah, so now you're an IFBB Pro, and you did that at Portugal, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Thank you. It feels weird because it feels like it wasn't that long ago, but then it feels like it was time ago. And I think, I went into Miami Pro and I tried to be really tactical because I thought, hang on, I'm probably on the older edge of juniors.
Okay.
Junior until I think is 23.
Right.
It's under 23, isn't it, from what I remember? Yeah.
I think it's 23 under, so I must have been 23. So they let you do it up until that age, and I thought, right, that's my last year to do a junior. So I thought, okay, let's try it. And then it actually worked in my favour because I think I did fitness model as well. I didn't feel like I wanted to go in with, like, the grown-up bikini girls. I don't know why, because I went out with the grown-up fitness models anyway. Yeah, it was tactical back then, but even I'd never competed before when I did that show, and even I was like, I had no idea what condition was, I had no idea what to do, I couldn't even walk in my high heels. I think I went to Audrey Caipio's, she does like a 4-week posing course, and my very first class, when she was like, walk, I was like Bambi on ice. I was like, I literally went to the corner and I started crying. I was like,
oh.
And everyone said, oh, but you look really good. I was like, but I can't walk. And I was crying. I was an absolute mess. You wouldn't think it on the day, but I was terrible before when I first started. I didn't have a clue. But yeah, I had no clue at all what I was doing.
Oh, well, clearly your physique spoke for itself then. Like, if you're able...
posing was substandard, but your physique was so good, just trashed everybody.
On the day, I was like, I think, well, because her course is so intense and you do it for a month. By the end of the month, I was like, oh, okay, I got this. But I'd never forget first walking in, and I thought, why have I chosen to stand up in front of hundreds of people? And my bikini was so tiny as well. It was like a little thong. I just thought, what have I done? And I was like, I just want to lift weights. I just want to stand up and do everything in front of everyone. But I got used to it in the end.
Oh, that's brilliant. I think that goes on quite nicely. So how did you get into this whole world of bodybuilding?
Do you know what? It's really random. I've always trained since I was about 15 years old. So, or even when I was really young, like, my dad used to have me in the garage and he'd have like a little punch bag up. So I always did active stuff, even as a kid. When I was about 15 or 16, I used to do a lot of like sprinting, running, track, all of that type of stuff. And like a lot of athletics. Then as I got a bit older, I went into things like kettlebell classes. I always really liked doing like powerful movements and high intensity exercise. And I think it was, she used to be a glamour model and her name's Louise Glover. One day I think she decided to compete. This must have been about 7 years ago. And I was just having a little browse on the internet and I'd already known her from like the glamour modeling world. And I saw her in this bikini and she had like, she had abs and her obliques were on show and her quads looked amazing. I remember looking at her and I was like, I want to look just like that. I thought she'd done this transition from, you know, soft, pretty glamour model, and she was still gorgeous, but she looked like she could really kick ass. And I was like, that's exactly what I want to be like. So I actually went online, and everyone will know of them, Jamie Dorigo and Stephanie Dean. We all used to live in the same place in Wales. I did some Googling and I found them both. And Jamie had prepped Steph, and I looked at Steph and I was like, she looked like Louise Glover. And I was like, right, I messaged him. I was basically like, make me look like that. I will do it. I was like, if he told me to go out at 3 o'clock in the morning and eat grass because it'd make me win, like, I'd go and do it. I just thought, I want to win that bad and I want to look like that and I hate failing. But it's like really random how I got into it that way, and then I just stayed in it from that.
That's amazing. I think you've got to have that, like, right from the beginning if you're going to be a successful bodybuilder. Like, you saying you'll do anything that they're going to say. You've either got it or you haven't. Like,
one thing that's interesting about that as well is that you've got your foot off quite, like, to a good start there, haven't you? Being around Jamie and being around Steph, like, your whole career and your whole sort of everything to do with bodybuilding might not have gone this way if you hadn't had, because I get on really well with Jamie. Like, he's a sound guy, he knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
No, it's just great. It's just awesome that you got off to that foot. I mean, one thing, I think one of Caitlin's questions was, how does doing the fitness efforts and how does, like, the bikini modelling and all that sort of stuff and all those, how does that then transition to, I want to be a figure pro? Like, how does that whole process go about?
I think in terms of fitness model competitions, I will always advise any one of my clients or friends or anybody like that, if you ever wanted to do a show and you've never done one before, I say start with a fitness model competition, because they usually have a huge crowd. The standard, and I think some people have a misconception that just because it's a fitness model show, the standard's not great, when there's some of the best physiques that I've seen. I mean, you know, Andrea Brazier started in Miami Pro, Andre started at Miami Pro, a lot of the big, huge names started way back then in those shows. So they teach you. It's like a family, so it's fun. You get that idea of what it's like to be on stage, you know, and I think it's a fun environment to start with. So also the posing that they require you to do is a lot more free. It's a lot more, you know, you have to be more confident. It's no set posing. So I think that transitioning into IFBB and doing figure and things like that, I actually think it helps, because you're taught almost how to shine on stage, and you've kind of got that little bit of an edge and a bit of a flair and confidence that maybe people who have only ever done bodybuilding really have. In terms of my figure, I kind of transitioned by mistake, really. I started off in bikini because I was small. I actually asked Jamie, you know, what do you think I should do? And he said, bikini is always a good starter. So I started in bikini, and then my second show, I did the PCA Welsh Championships. I did trained bikini, and I won that as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a different look to what they prefer now, but because I had such big legs and I have, like, a thicker set glutes, I went for trained look. So each year, I kind of naturally got bigger.
So, when you just to clarify, when you say that, do you think that they've downsized of that now compared to what you were, or...?
No, I think they've actually gone for a more bigger and a more shredded look.
Oh, okay. So you were still a little bit smaller than you were, obviously, figure-wise, but you were more, like, just a bikini, like, softer sort of, you know, toned look. Okay.
Yeah, I would say it was I was softer that day than I probably have been in any show. For me, looking back at the photos, I thought it looked more wellness.
Right, okay, cool, yeah.
But then... back then, I guess it was a new category anyway, and 5 years ago or 4 years ago, nothing stays the same. So that was definitely, now I would say bikini trained is now figure, effectively.
Yeah. That's one other thing that I was thinking, because there's these girls that are in bikini trained, and they're bigger than what an IFBB bikini pro would be, but then they're still doing bikini, and I just think... What's the next progression? Unless they want to do PCA Pro, I guess.
That's one thing. One thing I've actually really recently, the last 2 days, been speaking to there's a bikini trained competitor, and she was telling she had done the first timer show, the one in September, and she's like saying, I want to compete in June, I want to work with you. And I was like, okay, cool, what, do you want to stick with bikini training? She's like, no, I'm done with that, I want to move into figure now. And I'm like, oh, like, okay, that seems like a logical transition for me. And I'm like looking at her muscularity, and she's already very much on the way to being, you know, like maybe athletic figure or something like that. So genuinely just looking at her, you sort of get that sense of like, yeah, she's going towards that, which is, I suppose, once you've been in bikini training for a while and you've done quite well, she got like third at the British as well. So when you've been spinning around that stuff for a bit, then it's probably time to start moving up towards figure if that's what you want to do. I mean, you can't really stay in bikini forever and ever, can you? I mean, I don't know.
No, I think if you change federations, you definitely can't. Like, it's hard. It's hard because a lot of girls are put off by figure because of the posing. To a few girls, and they would absolutely nail figure. Like, they have got pro card written all over them, but they don't want to stand there in those poses, and that's what puts them off. So they'll stay in places like PCA, bikini, framed, and athletic, and figure, so that they can still feel feminine when they pose. Which I completely get it, it's fair enough, because those figure poses are made to show every little bit of weakness on you. Like, there's no hiding.
Yeah.
So that's coming from someone smaller like me. But if you actually go onto IFBB and look on the website, the criteria for figure, the actual size of your muscles is not really supposed to be like what you're mainly judged on. It's a degree of muscularity, and then that's so subjective. Where do you draw the line at what's a degree of muscularity?
So again, this leads on to a really good question that Kaylin had. It's like, so what are your thoughts on the on what it used to be? And then Caitlin, I'm nicking all your questions.
It's all right, yes. No, we're basically just seeing, like, you know, the Nicole Wilkins era compared to the Sid Gillen era, because it's a different look. I mean, I like them both, but what are your thoughts on the, you know, the transition, so to speak?
I would like to merge the two. So I personally like Nicole Wilkins. She had a lovely figure. Also, Monica Brandt was my favourite.
Yeah.
So Monica looked, to me, I always say they looked like Jennifer Lopez, a little bit more, you know, muscular, shredded.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a gorgeous look for any female to achieve. I think it's achievable. I think you still feel pretty and nice.
Mm.
And then I also like the condition of the new age figure.
Yes.
So I think it would be nice to see, because they say a degree of muscularity, you will get some girls that have a lot more muscle and they look amazing as well. It would be nice to see both sides of the coin win, in that, okay, if we're judged on our X shape, you know, our proportions and things like that, it would be nice that if some of the smaller girls could still win in that, because they still have great legs, they still have great quads, great shoulders. It's just on a bit of a smaller, more condensed scale and a bit more.
So if you were to look at, say, okay, so say we were picking a class within PCA, like obviously got toned, athletic and trained, would you think that the athletic sort of thing, the in-between look, that's the sort of look you'd rather see on an Olympia stage, rather than the, because you get a lot of girls in trained figure, okay, for example, Kaz Gibby, so you know, we're going to have her on soon, by the way, Caitlin.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, we are.
Sound.
She's happy to. Yeah, like epic foreshadowing there, just come out and say it. But no, so she's going to, so that's, she won trained figure in PCA, and then she won the overall at the Welsh, and then she went left and went did IFBB and did the British, and then wiped the floor of everyone at the British. That's, there again, that's a trained look that's then being rewarded in a figure class. But the softer look wasn't rewarded at all. But then the absolute, like, even further gone than Kaz, the hyper, hyper shredded, the, you know, peel to the bone look like, okay, for example, Emily Brand, the one that Caitlin, you know, that I used to coach her.
Yes.
Like, so that hype, that stupidly shredded look, that's not rewarded. So it's kind of like a balancing act, isn't it? They're not really, they're setting a criteria and then going, no, we'll just go with who looks the best on the day, as opposed to a set look that they want.
I agree. It's for me personally, because I think subconsciously you will always prefer a physique that mimics your own. So I can get very shredded, so I will always pick condition over size, because that's what I like. You'll probably find it's the same with people when they judge. If they're a guy who's a bodybuilder and he's a mass monster, maybe not that good of condition, he will just, it, you subconsciously favour that, because it's what you see and what you can do. But I think condition can't always, people say condition always beats size, but I think if you've got really great condition, but you look fabulous, you don't have to be the biggest. I genuinely think it's whoever looks the best in terms of proportions. Not just that, also for girls, a massive thing is how you look on stage, how you smile, how your makeup's done, you know, how much of like an energy that you bring out on stage. So
you're posing, your presentation, stuff like that, right? Yeah,
like Sydney Gillen, for example, one thing I will always say, she nails posing.
Oh my god, yeah.
Her presence is so beautiful and her smile is so lovely. You just can't help but look at her smile mm-hmm. when there could be other people on that stage who have a slightly bigger delt or whatever you would argue. But I'm always drawn to her when I watch the Olympia because yes. she looks so happy.
Yes.
And some people, if you watch them on those pro stage, some of them don't smile. Some of them don't even. And I don't know if that's just they're concentrating, but definitely how happy and confident you are, that can go miles and speak volumes for how you place on stage.
Absolutely. I'm just, every time I see her, drawn to her. Because I know her and Latoya, I never know how to pronounce her name. Her and her were neck and neck, but I did notice that Sid, she was smiling that little bit more. Whether that did it, I don't know. I knew, obviously, there was like, a little bit.
What do you win on the Olympia run? Oh, my smile, I just have my teeth
but done. But it's crazy, though, because that probably did. I would not be surprised if that did.
What on the judges, like, score sheet, quarter turns, and then the smile round at the bottom?
Well, it's just, it's that higher level. I really, honestly, would not be surprised at all.
Presentation in general, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think what people say a lot is, because I've never seen these girls in real life, people always say to me, they're not as big as you think.
Mm.
And I do agree that stage photos, we look much bigger on stage, don't we? And we've done something for that day to appear bigger, our tan, etc. I say the year before in Portugal, if you look at my stage photos, I look jacked, like really, really jacked. But then...
Look at them.
I was tiny.
Yeah, you showed me them. Yeah.
Like a size 6. I was absolutely tiny. So I do get that. Sometimes we probably look at those girls and think, is it achievable? But I think they sometimes are a lot more petite than we really think in real life.
Mm. It's mainly like a structure thing, isn't it? That'll just carry over. And then they're in the pictures. So lighting, they're conditioned. You know, they're full, they're popping. They've all pumped up like hell. And then that's it, isn't it, right?
So, yeah. Like they're pumped up. I mean... people can change massively with a pump. You see it yourself in the gym, don't you? You're training and you're lean and you think, oh my God, I look huge. Then when your pumps die down a bit, especially with women, I think it's probably more because guys are big and you can see that guys are big all the time. But with a woman, when her pump's gone down, some of us don't even look like we train or we're bodybuilders in our club.
Yeah.
People say to me, what? They're like, you do what? And they're like, that's you in the photos. And I'm like, yeah.
Kaling gets a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, no.
Literally.
All the teachers at school are like, no, you don't. And then I'm like, I do.
No, it's funny, isn't it? It's a lot more hidden with women, I'd say. It's not always that black and white to be able to see it in our bodies. Mm.
Caitlin, what other questions have we got? Have we got anything sort of veering to different topics? Or have we
more of it towards you. What are your plans now? I'm just... curious, to be honest, because obviously you've got your pro card. When are we going to see the pro debut?
Honestly, I had no intentions. The day I won that card was probably one of the best and worst days of my life because I've been so ill the night before and the morning of the show.
Can you run us through that? That's a good story. Do you want to talk about it or do you not want to?
I'll talk about it. So it was just the worst time of my life.
You don't have to mention names about certain things. You can just roll through as you want, yeah.
I just basically, I carb up, say I'm competing on the Saturday, we carb up on the Monday and we drip feed it through.
Right.
So I was feeling amazing. I was like, this is the first time I've ever felt like this good leading up to a show. And then it must have been about 6 o'clock the night before the show. And I thought, I don't feel too good. And my family were actually at my apartment. And I was like, I really don't feel too good. And I thought, oh, so I ate my square of dark chocolate, which was in my diet. And then I immediately went to the toilet and I just threw up everywhere. And I thought, oh no, I don't feel great. And it just got worse from then on. So from like 6 or 7 in the evening, by 9 o'clock at night, my head felt like someone had literally hit me over the head.
Oh, and
I was sick. I was on the toilet floor all night, sick. I couldn't sleep. My head was pounding. I missed my tan, so I didn't get my tan done. I thought I was going to miss registration, everything. Obviously, my boyfriend, Joe, physically dragged me to the next day, looking like, wow. I looked that bad. People the next day were on my Insta comments like, holy shit, I saw you at 10 and you looked awful. And I was like, yeah. Or they were like, you really pulled it out of the bag. Like, I thought you were dying when we were tanning you. And I was like, yeah, that's me.
So when did you actually get your tan? If you missed it, did you just get it, like, closer towards the time? Or?
I literally had to get it on the day. My,
oh, shit.
I had to go there on the day with Joe literally hanging me up, like, literally chucked me into the tanning room. I had to tan with all the blokes naked. As soon as I walked in, because the tanning people, they remember you from the year before, and and the guy was like, Miss Ashley! He's like, oh my God, what has happened? I need to go to the bathroom. He took me in the toilet. I spewed in the toilet while everyone's tanning, just 2 feet away from me. And he wiped my face. He wiped all the sick off my face. He was like, right, let's try and tan you. And I was like, make it quick. So I managed to get the tan maybe 3-4 hours before I went on stage. I was sick in front of the whole casino, in front of Paul Knight, one of the IFBB judges. in front of all the competitors.
So what, at this point, what are you throwing up? Are you just throwing up water or are you throwing up food as well? Are you trying to keep food down but it's just not happening?
Well, in the night, it was just, obviously, you know what it's like tea with drinking. It's just bile, isn't it? It's just it pulling everything out of you. But in the morning, me and Joe said, like, try and eat something. So he gave me 4 rice cakes and I was like, okay. It's working a little bit, and then it was just pure rice cake that came up then when I got my tan. So whatever I tried to eat, even if it was dry, like, it was just coming straight back up. God. So my makeup, I was late for my makeup. We had to rearrange the time, everything. Luckily, the show was actually running late. So.
Oh, fancy that, TV show running late.
I genuinely think that karma was on my side that day.
Yeah.
Went wrong, but everything that could have helped me a little bit went right. So the show was late, loads of things like that happened. They let me go in and tan with the men. Like, I just thought, oh, thank God.
So did you actually, throwing up so much, you were probably pulling water from everywhere at that point. Did you just get drier and drier, or did you just flatten like shit? Like, what happened? Like, that's like taking diuretic, like, everything's just coming out. So, like, I've got a similar story I'll run through with you with a client of mine in a minute, but finish yours first. This is brilliant.
Totally. I was getting drier and drier. Unfortunately, I was then so flat that I was no longer really figure. I couldn't even look at myself. And I remember being backstage and I thought, I'm actually going to pass out, like, it's nearly time to go. So I looked at this lady, I think she was supporting her husband, and I said, can I please eat some of your sweets? She's like, yeah, sure. I had a handful of sweets, and then it was time to go pump up, and Joe, bless him, was like, yeah, come on, you got this. And there's just no pump at all. I was flat as hell, but I looked so shredded. I remember when we came out on stage, and Phoebe Hagen actually said to me, I have never seen a woman that shredded in my life. You were literally like, should everyone went, what? And I was like, when I went backstage, all the bodybuilders were saying to me, oh my God, they were like, how have you done this? Like, can you tell us?
Teach us your ways.
Sick for 18 hours and I haven't eaten anything. And they were like, I
will try this.
Some of them were outside and they were like, maybe I'll eat some raw chicken next year or something.
So this is funny because it's horrible for you. Did you win that show?
Yeah, that's when I went pro.
You went pro?
At my absolute worst.
Oh, Jesus.
But that's a good thing, though.
You could be at your best.
Yeah.
I was like, the next day, honestly, because I did look like bikini on the day. I'm not in denial. I'm not going to say I didn't. And then the next day, obviously, when I'd actually eaten and filled up a bit, you can probably see the difference in... So I went on stage and I competed at about, I want to say 12, 1 in the afternoon. Unfortunately flat, but I did my best.
Yeah.
Won my pro card. Because it was so long then until the evening when they do the overalls, had time to, like, I actually felt better then. So I went and had a big salmon fillet. I had rice. I had a glass of Prosecco. I had sweets. I had an apple. Because we were just like, we need to get everything back in. So towards the night show, about 10, 11 o'clock, I did look a lot better. But then the next morning, I actually looked like a figure. I woke up and I was like, no.
I think I've seen, did you put the two pictures next to each other?
Yeah.
It's mad. Your lats literally just like, one of them things to the side and your lats just went boom. And I was like, what?
My back, like my glutes, my back, everything. I was like a little tiny, like, just tiny little thing, and then the next day it was like, oh.
Oh, here we go.
This is what I actually prepped for, so, yeah.
I know, because everyone, it was sweet, because everyone was like, backstage, oh, pro bikini, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm bigger and I'm really ill, I was like, don't judge me, but that makes me excited for 2021, I'm going to compete, because I think, okay, that's what happened, it was a shitty situation, but it's fine, it hasn't held me back, so no. It'd be interesting to see what I look like next time, when I've actually, you know, everything's on my side.
Yes.
So, Ashley, are you currently working with anyone at the moment, or are you doing your own thing at the moment, like, what's...
So for prep and for my off-season plan, I've been working with Johnny Casalina. So he preps Miss Olympia, Shanique Grant.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yes.
He's done my off-season training plan. At the moment, I just do my food. And then when I prep, I will prep with Johnny as well. So cool. Be interesting to see. I kind of wanted to contact him prior to thinking about my next show because I wanted to know what he actually genuinely thought of me staying in figure. Because obviously he's been in the game for ages and years.
Were you gonna go back down, or were you gonna stay in figure?
I wasn't gonna go back. I did actually toy with the idea of going to wellness, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Playing towards my genetics because I naturally have a very big set of legs and glute. So I thought about it all, but I always think don't stress yourself because categories always change. That it'll probably. It'll look different probably when I jump on stage. It might be the same.
And you know what? The funny thing is as well, we talk about categories progressing forwards and moving on and things like that. And they obviously with figure over the years and years and years, they seem to have gone for bigger and bigger and bigger girls. And, you know, it does seem that way. And every time the whole mandate comes out saying, no, you know, and it's all passed around the little circle, like, no, we want you to all come in smaller this year. Well, half of the girls will go, okay, I'll do it. And then they'll do it. And they go, no, I don't like this look. And then the other half will do the normal and just come in how they are and they'll win, and then that means the other girls who just came in softer and half-assed their prep, they'll go, well, you just fucking told us to do that, so what do you want us to do? But I think realistically if we genuinely look at history and how it will repeat itself, the figure class is simply going to go up in size. I mean, we both know Kira, don't we, Ash? And she's huge. She's got massive legs, massive back, but she's still got the feminine sort of look to her, which is what they want. They want a feminine face. They want a nice look and a feminine muscle, but they also want some good size to it as well. So, you know,
I agree. I think what I would like to see personally in IFBB is just for the bridge between, for me personally, the bridge between bikini and figure now has got so big you don't fit in anymore unless you're very, very muscular and you've got that size, or unless you have no size at all, which I personally didn't ever think competing was about that. So
about downsizing, you wouldn't want to downsize. It's bodybuilding for a reason, right, isn't it?
So I personally would, if you've looked at, if you look at some of the IFBB bikini pros about 7 or 8 years ago, Yarishna Ayala, she used to be a bikini pro. Now she's a WBFF fitness pro. She got those big legs, the big glutes, the nice rounded delts. They were a lot more athletic looking about 7, 8 years ago, bikini pros. And I found that has, for me, bikini has got smaller.
Yeah, yes. It's got smaller, but again, conditions come up like everything. But it's quite interesting because like, I feel like the men, the bodybuilders, the old generation and the new generation are almost having a war. Like, he just keeps going on. They'll say, oh, you're not coming in lean enough, yada, yada, yada. But I feel like the females, no one's really saying anything. There's people like Fit Pro Becky, who she tries to reiterate the categories quite a lot, which is good, but no one's listening, I don't think. I think we've spoken about this before, but just like on Instagram, me and you, about wellness division. So it's interesting that you said that you were thinking of going into that. What do you think you would have had to have done to go into wellness?
I think if I made that decision, I would, because at the moment I only trained legs like once a week, if that, and they're very dominant. My quads and my glutes are incredibly dominant, whereas in figure I obviously need to be more top heavy.
Right.
So I probably changed my training to hitting legs 3-4 times a week. I personally think genetically I would grow into that a lot easier than potentially trying to get my upper body, but I'm not going to give up. I am going to try.
Yeah.
I'm going to see how my growth phase goes, because it's all about time, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, categories can change, and all I know is I won't ever try and lose my muscle. That's what I can say for definite.
That's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus, my quads, I swear to God. Your boyfriend's absolutely ripping me off. Is he there?
Yeah, he's there.
Absolute asshole. Jesus Christ, they're cramping up so bad. What did he say?
He said he's in a pickle as well.
Horrendous. Caitlin, how long have we got left on the timer?
Oh, we've got another half an hour, to be honest.
Oh,
but,
fantastic.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Right, so... we've spoken about your plans going forward, but what are your sort of views on off-season? Are you trying to keep things relatively lean, or because you know you can get super shredded, are you able to sort of push things a bit more? Because I know a lot of people think...
Cheese and wine.
What?
Ash. Cheese and wine, Ash.
What?
I love cheese, I love wine. that's a good question, because I know... lots of people do off-season differently. I personally don't believe, and this is for me personally, if I need to pack on some muscle, I can't be focused on staying lean. Last show I dropped, I lost 15 kilos when I went pro in Portugal in 14 weeks. I know what it takes. It's just because I know what it takes. I know what has to be done. If you pack it on like that, I know how to get it off. But I think also for women it's different. I don't think as a woman we can stay lean and grow, not efficiently anyway. And if you wanted to make big changes going from an amateur to an actual competitive pro, you've got to be willing to really like pack on some weight, and you've got to be willing to let your body fat increase. But that's what women's bodies are designed to do. Some people, I think, competing has led them to believe that they always need to have abs as a woman and they need to be lean. But we're made to carry babies, and our bodies are made to fight back against that. So at some point, you have to let yourself chill, and you've got to let your body chill. Because I always say to people, like, I must be about 16 kilos over stage weight at the moment. But what I'll do now is I've started a cut. I'll cut for 12 weeks and then I'll push up again. I have a lot of fun doing it, but that's just the way it is. I think women need to think about their health a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, I'm definitely a fan of pushing up, bring it back, push up again.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one thing that a lot of... It's quite okay. So I'm lead this more onto sort of another topic as well, which we can talk about in a minute. But I think paying attention to health and paying attention to just a general diet as such that's going to benefit a woman. I mean, realistically, like if you're not varying, fat sources, for example, in an off season, like if you're just having the same fucking fat source repeatedly, like that's not actually beneficial for a woman's, you know, health at all. You need different sources continuously. I mean, you know, I see some women eating these massive amounts of protein and I'm thinking your stomach and guts just aren't going to take that. That's not going to do you any good. And then obviously just, you know, women who go, I want to stay lean, or I want to prep all of the year, I want to do these shows and these shows and these shows. And if the coach is actually sitting there and going, okay, cool, let's do it, like, then, you know, it's not really on, is it? I mean, I've had a bikini girl who told me, okay, I want to be lean for a wedding, and then I want to be lean for these shows here, and then I want to take a mini break, and then I want to compete at the back end of the year. And I'm sitting there going, okay, we can do that, but in that time off, you're having actual time off. You're not sticking to some, like, sort of rinse and repeat sort of bad eating habits and things like that, you know what I mean? Like, diet, oh, fuck it, and then diet, you know what I mean? Like, one of those sorts of things. I think that's one thing. I mean, Ash, so you've worked with like a couple of coaches going in through your sort of career and stuff like that as well. Have you always felt that, okay, I don't want you to obviously badmouth people here, but have you felt that if things were getting to a point with this coach where they were pushing you too hard as a competitor, you would say something to them along the lines of, I need to look after my health a bit more here because you're pushing me down a route I don't want to go? Has there been any times like that, or have you been...
I think because I am a little bit sadistic, I'm not going to lie, I almost take pleasure in the suffering. So sometimes it will be hard for me to see when it's going too far.
Right.
But from an outside perspective, I think if someone did tell me, and My problem is I don't like to look weak, so you could literally run me into the ground and I won't tell you that I'm on my ass, because I just think, right, I've got to do whatever it takes. But yeah, you have to pull yourself out of that sometimes and think there is a difference between really pushing and really, you know, I'm doing the necessary suffering, and then there's a point where your health is at risk. I think if it got to that point where my health, I really felt that strongly, I would tell a coach, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, I think from this whole little off-season thing, it's not to be misconstrued that we're taking our foot off the pedal necessarily. It's just being sensible. So no, you don't have to eat the same foods every single day in off-season. Shut up. I do that, but he's...
No one else can see that, can they?
No, I will change it when I'm told. But yeah, no, I don't think it should be misconstrued as, you know, we're taking the foot off the pedal either. Like, you know you can get in condition, so why, you know, like, there's no point staying lean in off-season when you know that it's going to be more optimal to build muscle by pushing body weight up a bit more.
Of course, I've done that my whole competitive career. I always have, like, a flip switch. Don't get me wrong, in the winter, I enjoy myself, I enjoy my friends, my family, I go out to dinner a lot, I probably get a little bit too hefty, but it doesn't last long. Within a couple of weeks, it's gone, because I like to enjoy myself, and I think it's important to reset your mind, because I'm somebody that, I got into bodybuilding because it was fun for me, and I like to enjoy it. I don't ever want it to become a thing where I don't enjoy it. So,
do you want it to stay like a hobby, opposed to like just like a daily? Like, you're a pro, but you don't treat it as in it's like your job. Like, you treat it as in you're just enjoying your hobby and you're doing well at your hobby, sort of thing.
Exactly. And I think even if it doesn't matter if you're a competitive pro, my whole thing is if you stop enjoying something, you're not going to be good at it, because if you don't enjoy it, your effort's going to lag. You're not going to have fun with it. So I think if you can keep the fun element and keep pushing, and you're going to be more motivated, and you'll probably do way better than if you try and turn it into something too regimented for yourself. I mean, if someone tried to beat me into doing the same thing, I would lose interest, and then I would probably never do bodybuilding. Whereas if I think, right, yes, we're in off season, I have fun with my sessions, I like doing this, I like trying new things, then I'm always going to push harder. So you have to enjoy things, otherwise there's just no point, is there?
Yeah, I think we compete because we train. We don't train because we compete. Like,
exactly.
That transition from prep to off season, when you feel like the strongest person ever going in, it makes you just sort of realise, I love this. Like, that's the sort of thing. It's brilliant.
Completely. I mean, when I did my Ironman Pro, I didn't even have Instagram until the final 2 weeks, I think it was, or 4 weeks. That's what I mean. Like you say, we don't compete because we train, or we train because we compete. It's like, you do it because you love it, and then you're good at it, and then you get to showcase something that you love and that you're good at.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we've had a couple of guests on who, we had Natalie on who is a female bodybuilder, and she very much lives and breathes the lifestyle of it. And with her, it's a very, very different thing. She doesn't compete yet. She will in the future. She's just a bit anxious about doing, like, competing and stuff like that, because there's no female bodybuilding class at the moment, obviously, like, not yet. I mean, it should be coming along soon. But her thing is, it was saving her from a lifestyle of sort of anorexia, poor, you know, eating habits and things like that. And I think, do you know what, like, I would rather, if I had, like, a daughter or something, and she was anorexic, and then she decided, no, I'm going to be a massive muscular bodybuilder, I'd be like, do you know what, as long as you're eating food, fucking go for it. It's still an eating disorder to a degree. The way they treat it is more like a disorder, but it's a fucking better one than what you were doing. So I think bodybuilding in itself, obviously, is a hobby, and it's a lifestyle for a lot of people, and it's a very much an outlet and whatever, but... for some people, it really can save them, which I love about it. I love that. Like,
exactly. And like you said about Natalie, she's not doing bodybuilding because she's thinking, right, the end goal is the stage. It's something that she likes doing. It saved her. She enjoys it. It makes her life better. And then being able to just put it on stage, that's just like a cherry on top.
And the thing is as well, for us as well, like for anyone of us, you know, a lot of people out there, I mean, okay, for Joe, for example, even though he's obviously on Instagram and stuff and, you know, thousands of followers and all of this sort of shit, if that Instagram wasn't around, social media wasn't around, computers weren't around and whatever, you know, none of that online presence was around, we'd all still do it. And we'd all still absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. We'd all still compete. We'd all still train. We'd all still eat the fucking chicken and rice and whatever. We just wouldn't be able to see who we were competing against in 5 weeks' time. Go, oh, fuck, they look amazing.
Do you know what? That is one of the best things you can ever say to someone is, if you took away social media, would you still want to compete? Yeah. I would say, if there was no Instagram, tell me you would sit there and, like I've done, eat cucumber for dinner because that's all you're getting. Because you need to be the leanest. If Instagram wasn't there telling you, blowing smoke up your ass, saying you're this and that, would you still sit there and have tears in your eyes eating your last meal? Do you know what I mean? Would you still go to that extent? Because
if the answer's yes, then it's exactly.
If the answer's no, then I'm like, run.
Run.
Enjoy it.
Just go take up strongman, go take up powerlifting, go take up golf.
First thing, at the end of the day, I always say to people, you can't rely on anybody else to motivate you. Your coach can to an extent. Your family can to an extent, but at the end of the day, you're lying in bed and it hurts because you're so fucking hungry, but you've just got to suck it up. That's you at the end of the day, and that's your mind, and you're the only person who's going to drag yourself out of that. So yeah, you have to give yourself more credit and rely on yourself a lot more than people think.
Absolutely. Right, I think one of my final questions really was, how's your life, do you think your life has properly changed since turning pro?
I would say, do you know what? I would say my life hasn't changed, as in I don't feel like it's changed. Yeah. But the one thing I think it has changed in me is pressure that I feel on myself. And I feel a lot of pressure to conform to maybe the way other people live as a pro or other bodybuilders do this and do that. And maybe the last 2 weeks, I've been actually seeing a lot of stuff on Instagram from bodybuilders, Harry Harris and people like that, with it actually coming out and saying, you can train how you want. What, you know what I mean? This is you. This is your life. This is your career. This is your body. You can train how you want to. And I got a little bit caught up in feeling like I had to be a certain person and I had to train a certain way to feel like I was pro worthy. When really, like at the end of the day, all that matters is you don't see what I do. If I go up there and I still do well, it doesn't matter what you think about what I've done. So I think that's how it's changed my life, is definitely pressure I feel on myself, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, and that's okay. It's a great outlook because, yeah, the it's all down to you. That is what I love about it. Like, it's literally, you know, someone may tell you to eat something like your coach in a peak week, but it's all down to you and, you know, that's... It's selfish, but at the same time, it's so rewarding. And I think that, do you think you've got a better platform now to kind of help people?
Cause exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think in that respect, it's changed. In that respect, it's nice. I've almost felt a bit, I almost kind of felt validated in that I've always loved doing what I do. And I think people used to kind of brush me off, probably because I didn't have a huge following and stuff like that. I used to just do what I do, turn up and be like, oh, hey, just I'd win. But it was only because I was like, oh, yes, I love this. So I almost feel like it validated, and it's given me a platform to actually be able to tell young girls as well, you know, just to do what you want, and you don't have to conform to what anyone else says, and you don't have to fear this, and you don't have to fear that. And I was told a couple of years ago, you shouldn't do bodybuilding because this and that, and I just think it's just completely fuck what everyone else says.
I remember what I completely missed off when you were going on about, when you were talking about your very, very bad experience, but you still turned pro. You know, there's something that's funny. So I had a client of mine, Sam, who competed at the Muscle Talk show, which is a PCO show, and he what did he do? So basically he had prepped for something stupid like 4 weeks for this show. So he had just gone absolutely insane for it, like with fat burners, with cardio, with the lot. Like he literally, it was just stupid. Like he basically said, I'm going to do it. And I was like, fuck, are you serious? So yeah, before we prep. Turned up, it might have even been less than that. He turned up to the show and I says, okay, we planned out his carb up on whatever. And I knew it wasn't going to be his best look and all of that. And he turned up to the show and I was in the same hotel because I was doing the show. And he was doing classic and I was doing juniors. And he was standing there and he was going through his posing and stuff. And I'm looking at him going, you know what, man, you still look good, but this isn't going to be a good one at all. And then I said to him, he said, oh, have you got diazide with you? And he goes, yeah, I've got some diazide. And I said, okay, do half a tab tonight and then see what you're going to do in the morning. Actually, no, I didn't tell him that because that would be illegal to prescribe him anything like that. Someone else did. Someone else called Tom. So what that person did, told him to take the diazide. And then I just left that person to leave out the room, walk out the room. He wasn't feeling very well. And he was like, I feel fucking sick. My stomach feels fucked up. Like, I've eaten these carbs today and I just really feel like dreadful. And I was like, okay, just have like a glass of wine or something. Just chill out, watch some TV, get your tan on and whatever and just relax. And he goes, okay, fine, whatever. And I saw him in the morning. And, you know, I said, I'll see you in the morning. And I come downstairs in the morning. I call him and I go, do you want me to come see you? Do you want me to come see how you're looking? And he goes, dude, I've barely slept. I've been on the loo all night. I've been blowing my ass out. It's been fucking like diarrhea. Like fucking, I've been sick. I've just been like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, bro, I'm so sorry. Like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah. Just come and see what you think. And I come downstairs and he gets his kit off. He hasn't seen himself. And I swear to God, I've never seen a more shredded individual in my life overnight. I was like, I was standing there. I was going, what the fuck have you done? And he's like, yeah, dude, I just couldn't stop shitting. And I'm like, I was like, Sam, like, what the fuck? Like, you look insane. You look absolutely peeled.
The Ashley like, effect.
And he's like, yeah, I look pretty good, don't I? And I'm like, how'd you feel? And he goes, I'll have a coffee and I'll go have a cigarette and I'll have some, you know, I'll have some water and then I'll just see how I feel. And I'm like, okay. He barely eats anything all morning. He eats like rice cakes, eats like an apple or something like that and like barely any food. He's flat as fuck, but he's so shredded. He makes it to the stage. And he gets up there and everything like that, and he walks out, and then you know, he's going through the pose and whatever. He gets second out of like a class of like 12. The only guy that beat him was a guy called Sean, who's a really good bodybuilder in classic as well. And then I spoke to him afterwards, and he goes, "Bro, I didn't even want to fucking get on stage." And I'm like, "You're right." And he's like, "Mate, I was standing there, and I wasn't even bothering with my posing." I was like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "I didn't want them to call me out." I was like, you fucking got second, and he goes, I just wanted it to be over.
Oh yeah, when you're ill like that, it's soul destroying, but you look really sick.
It's so crazy. And I said to him, I was like, if you ever fucking prep again, just go eat like some moldy tuna or something.
Moldy tuna.
You know, it's gonna work.
Sick. Yeah, you'd be dry, like crisp dry.
It's like I'm tempted to like start putting this in my client's planner.
The new protocol.
I'm not that reckless. Don't worry.
Oh, amazing. Brilliant.
Oh dear. Well, that seems like a good way to end it.
Yeah, absolutely. End it on the toilet. Absolutely.
Oh, amazing. No, thank you for having me, guys.
No, thank you for coming on.
Do you want to plug your coaching services?
Sure. Just plug one. Yeah. No, honestly, now I do coaching. That it's just if anyone wants to join or if you're thinking about doing a show, I prepped Erin last year and she came third, actually. She's got an invite to the British at PCA Saxon. I don't just do competitors, I do lifestyle clients as well, mainly lifestyle. I know that not everyone wants to be a bodybuilder and I can actually teach you. You can look fit and you can look healthy and you don't have to give up your chocolate and your wine, trust me.
Absolutely.
Right. So, well, what's your Instagram story so that people can find you on there as well?
Ashley White and then _ IFBB Pro.
I will tag that in the show notes as well for anyone listening. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, thank you so much for coming on. I think everyone will enjoy listening to that and have a few giggles, hopefully. But yeah, thank you for listening, guys. Really appreciate it.